Brother Mike played the seniority card, so I'm up first. I'm the new guy. So, wow. This is the first time my wife and son are here in church, and it's 38 years of First Bible Church. My son's first church service. It's almost too much to bear. And I got to stand up here and try to preach now. It's, man. But I thank you guys for your prayers. You know, sometimes you're distressed. Sometimes you're going through some rough stuff. And brethren, I'm weak. In my flesh, I'm weak. And my wife's on an operating table and strapped down and going to be child cut out of her. And I know that I have brethren praying for me. And guys, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that and how important it was to me and how comforting it was to me to know that when I couldn't even utter words, I know you guys were praying. And that's what a privilege to be a part of this. But I'm going to try not to cry. You know, something when I got saved, the Lord turned me into a softie. You know, I never cried before, but I cry all the time now. But you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Numbers, chapter 32. Book of Numbers, chapter 32. All right, we're going to read verses 1 through 15. Everybody there? Amen? Everybody awake? Everyone still here with us? Praise the Lord. Book of Numbers, chapter 32. The Bible says, "Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of cattle. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that behold, the place was a place for cattle. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spake unto Moses and to Eleazar the priest, and unto the princes of the congregation, saying, Ataroth, and Dibon, and Jazer, and Nimrah, and Heshbon, and Eleah, and Shebam, and Nebo, and Baron, even the country with which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Wherefore, said they, if we have found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan. And Moses said unto the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, Shall your brethren go to war? And shall ye sit here? And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them? Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up unto the valley of Eshol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware, saying, Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord towards Israel. For if ye turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray, God, you loose my tongue, Father, and you minister to your people this morning, Father. Calm my nerves, Lord. Bless your folks, Father God. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where was Israel's proper portion of land? For all these years wandering the wilderness, for all these years heading in one direction, a divinely destined inheritance, it was most definitely on the other side of the Jordan in Canaan land. We know this throughout the scripture. The book of Deuteronomy tells us numerous times, as the children of Esau which dwell in Seor and the Moabites which dwell in Ar did to me, until I shall pass over Jordan into the land which the Lord our God giveth us. Hear, O Israel, you are to pass over Jordan this day, for you shall pass over Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you. But when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord God giveth you, ye shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord God giveth you. Moses my servant is dead, now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I do give them. Israel's proper portion was on the other side of the Jordan. But something happened. Something happened. For 40 years, the Lord's been guiding Israel. For 40 years, the Lord's been providing for Israel. For 40 years, the Lord has been feeding them, guiding them, in a pillar of cloud by day, in a pillar of fire by night. For 40 years, their raiment didn't wax old. For 40 years, their feet didn't swell. For 40 years, he's been leading and guiding and directing and blessing and dwelling in their midst. And when they get to the brink, to the pinnacle of going over what the Lord wants them to do, the pinnacle, they decide to start looking around and say, this is all right. We're pretty cool here. We don't need to go any further. We're all right here. We're all right here. We don't need to go any further. Nearly 40 years, and they got content. They got content. Can I say, First Bible Church, don't get content. Amen. Don't get content. Verse 4 tells us, even the country which the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel, it is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle. Choosing to settle short of the promised land was no doubt a mistake. No doubt it was a selfish decision. No doubt it was a failure. It was stopping short of the divine mark. Point number one is, don't ever get content. Much like the tribes of Reuben and Gad, we have a great history at First Bible Church. Much like the tribes of Reuben and Gad, we have great leadership. Much like the tribes of Reuben and Gad, we have had the Lord's provision all these years. But just like the tribes of Reuben and Gad, it could be so easy for us to start looking around this church and saying, we definitely have a good-sized flock and we're definitely fed. Definitely fed. I mean, just about any person who gets up and stands at this pulpit from outside this church, they always preface their preaching with, I know this is nothing you guys don't know. I know this is nothing you guys haven't heard. I mean, for me, a newbie here to get up on the anniversary of this church, brethren, I have sores on my knees. But the tribe of Reuben and Gad, they looked around and said, this is all right. We don't have to go any further. We can just bunker down and settle right here. I mean, look, we've arrived. This is a good spot. It could be so easy to just become appeased with what God has done for us in the past that we no longer strive as a church to become what the Lord has for our future. We ought not to let the foretaste, the appetizer, stop us from the main course. If there's anyone in the Bible who could have gloried in the past, it's our Apostle Paul. He tells us in the book of Philippians, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are past, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul had some history he could have been content with. After all, since right after his conversion, he ceased not to preach the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us. In Derbe, in Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Perga, Paphos, Salamis, Seleucia, Jerusalem, Troas, Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, Athens, Ephesus, Caesarea, Tarsus, Smyrna, Pergamon, Neapolis, Miletus, and Tyre. Some 7,000 miles without Greyhound, without Avis Rent-A-Car, without JetBlue. Some 7,000 miles, according to my calculation. And he says, brethren, I've apprehended nothing. Nothing. I've forgotten those things which are behind, and I'm still reaching forth unto those things which are before. Brethren, are we still reaching forth unto those things which are before? I haven't been here for 40 years that you guys have. I haven't. But I know the Lord has something planned for this church. I know the Lord has a future for this church. And I look so forward to being a part of that with this church. I press toward the mark, the Apostle Paul tells us. I looked up that word press in our original English. It says to urge or strain in motion, to urge forward with force. The Apostle Paul didn't get content, and neither should we. Not only did these two tribes of Israel get content, but number two, their contentment was contagious. Let's look at verse 7 and verse 33. Verse 7, the Bible says, "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them." Verse 33. "And Moses gave unto them, even to the children of Gad, and to the children of Reuben, and unto the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land, which the cities thereof in the coast, even the cities of the country round about." Can I say, First Bible Church, there's a lot of new Christians here. There's a lot of babes in Christ here. And they're watching you guys. They're watching you guys. They're looking to you as examples of what Christians are supposed to be. Let me ask you, are you still pressing towards the mark? Or have you gotten comfortable? Do they see you in church on Wednesday? Do they see you handing out gospel tracts Saturday mornings? Do they still see the joy of the Lord in your face on Sunday mornings? Can I say, don't get content, because contentment is contagious, brethren. Contentment is contagious. It's like a virus straight out of hell, just looking to see who we can spread to. Not only did these tribes of Israel get content, not only is contentment contagious, but number three, contentment leads to compromise. Let's look at verse 7 through 14. "And wherefore discourage ye the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord hath given them. Thus did your fathers when I sent them from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, that they should not go into the land which the Lord hath given them. And the Lord's anger was kindled the same time, and he answered, saying, and he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until the generation that had done the evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord." At first, Moses had the right reaction. He said, "You're ungrateful. You have risen up in your father's stead, an increase of sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord." But just a few verses later, they were playing, "Let's make a deal." They struck a deal with Moses, their leader, that as long as the men went and fought and helped the rest of the tribes get over into the promised land, they can come back to the other side of the Jordan. Their contentment was contagious. You see, it started out with the tribes of Reuben and Gad, and then all of a sudden, you read about a half-tribe of Manasseh. Somehow they managed to spread their virus of contentment onto half another tribe who wanted to stay on this side of the Jordan and not enter into the promised land. Brethren, contentment is contagious. We need you guys. When I came to this church, I needed a place like this. I was sick of religion. I was sick of people who claim to be Bible believers. Amen. I was sick of it, brethren. I didn't think a place like this existed. I really didn't. I'm from that land far away over the bridge called Brooklyn. I didn't know there was a place like this, brethren. I cried and I prayed to God to show me, to give me a place like this, to direct my path. And he led me here, brethren. He led me here. He led me here. Brethren, I believe this is the greatest church in the world. I really believe that. I believe this church is most definitely here for a reason. In New York for a reason. On Staten Island for a reason. Don't ever get content, brethren. Don't ever, ever get content. The house is full this morning. Let's pray for 2 services. Let's pray for 3 services. The house is full this morning. Let's pray for a bigger building. Even though Pastor Dean wouldn't like that, I'm sure. But let's pray for a bigger building. Let's pray for a need to fill a bigger building. Amen? Let's pray that there aren't any more parking spots in the parking lot. Brethren, let's not get content. Number four, contentment can be catastrophic. Verse 15 tells us, "For if you turn away from after him, he will yet again leave them in the wilderness, and ye shall destroy all this people." Can I say, First Bible Church, I need this place. The Bafaro family needs this place. I need you guys to be, you ladies, to be godly examples to my wife. I need you guys to teach my son's Sunday school class. Who's going to do it if we don't stay the course? Who's going to disciple him? Who's going to teach his institute classes if we don't stay the course, brethren? Who's going to mentor him and take him under their wing the way you guys have done to me if we don't stay the course, brethren? Someone once said the road to success is dotted with many parking spaces. I believe that to be true. My prayer is that's not the truth in this place. Can I say, brethren, stay the course. Press on. Don't get comfortable. Don't become content. Don't compromise. Let's continue on the course that the Lord has for this church. And if the Lord tarry, I pray for an even more fruitful 38 years. I pray for an even more blessed 38 years. I'm so happy to be a part of this church. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to get up here and preach to you guys. And what a blessing. What a blessing. And Brother Mike's got a real doctrinal message for you coming up. I'm sorry, this was a little watery, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen.